حي على الفلاح.
The Prophet ﷺ, this is in Sahih Muslim, said a person will seek refuge at the house, meaning the Kaaba in Mecca. So an army will be sent to him. So when they reached the open ground, the earth will swallow that army up. So the companions, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, what about those that were coerced to be part of that army? So the earth swallows up the whole army. Not everybody's a bad guy there. What about those who were forced to come out with this army? Prophet ﷺ said he will be swallowed up, but he will be resurrected on the day of resurrection, on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, based on his niyyah, based on his intention. We said if you put them all together, you get a more complete picture of the story of the Mahdi. Which, I'll tell you something interesting. When you put them all together, you see a story that makes sense chronologically, the events make sense, it's a complete story. There were some people, you know, some of the contemporary, you know, I'm not going to call them scholars, but just, I don't know, speakers, all right? And this is like in the Arab land specifically. And a lot of them challenged the story or the authenticity or even the idea of the Mahdi. Even though we have authentic hadith, we have weak hadith and we have plenty of authentic hadith that speak about the Mahdi and his coming and everything. They said, no, this stuff was just put together, was fabricated, it was not, you know, it was just glued together, made up by people who were deviant and people who were intending to scare and terrify the ummah. Then how do we have such a story? A complete story with no contradictions? That's the real question. If random people with bad intentions throughout the ummah faked these hadith about the Mahdi, then the story wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't have a beginning, middle, and end. It would just be, okay, one time the Mahdi is here, one time he's over there. But that's not the case. It's something to think about. By the way, another argument they made is that none of the hadith of the Mahdi are in Sahih Muslim or Sahih Bukhari. These are not the only authentic books of hadith. The example I have here, this is an authentic narration from Sunan Abi Dawood. The Prophet ﷺ mentions that a Khalifa dies. Then a civil war will break out. A person from my Ahlul Bayt will leave Medina running away from it to Mecca. So what do we have so far? We have a Khalifa that dies. So there's got to be a Khilafa. And then the Khalifa dies. Then there's a civil war. Another hadith says three sons of a Khalifa. You know, they pull the Ummah into the civil war, the likes of which the Ummah has never seen. So a person from my Ahlul Bayt, from my family, meaning from my lineage, shall leave Medina, running away from it to Mecca. And the fact that he was running away, the scholars mentioned that it indicates that he was targeted, that someone was interested in him or had something about him. So they were looking at him carefully and he's targeted, so they sent someone or a group after him. So he leaves Medina and he goes to Mecca and he shall reach the Kaaba and people will force him out of his house. Remember what I said last time? People force him to give the bay'ah. Whereas everyone who claims that they're the Mahdi and you should follow them, they're asking you for the bay'ah. He doesn't want it, they force him out of his house and give him bay'ah between the rukn, the black stone, and the maqam of Ibrahim. So right in that area, he will stand and people will force him to accept the bay'ah. Then the Prophet ﷺ mentions, then Muslims from Khurasan will go to join him. And he says, when you see the army, give bay'ah to the Mahdi. Okay, well the hadith mentions that if you see him, if you know and hear of the Mahdi, get to him and crawl, even if you have to crawl over snow, to give the pledge to him. He says, I saw in a dream something very strange. The Prophet ﷺ mentions this hadith. I saw in a dream something very strange. A group of people from my ummah will intend to attack the Kaaba because a man from my descendants has sought refuge in it. It's very similar to the other ones, just seeing it from a different angle. As the army is camped at Bayda, Allah will cause the earth to open up and swallow the army. So let's do a quick recap here, combining the narrations together. We see that the Mahdi will seek refuge in the Kaaba. There'll be some political turmoil, civil war. He leaves Medina to go to Mecca. And when an army is sent to destroy him while he's in Mecca, and then while they're at this open area of Bayda, the earth will swallow them up. Then he will lead then people will give him bay'ah between the black stone and the maqam of Ibrahim. Then people will, we said unanimously, just everyone will know this is the Mahdi. There will not be, you know, people on the sidelines, righteous people. Is that him or not? Everybody will start to give pledge to him. And when you hear of him, you have to make sure you go across whatever distance and you pledge to the Mahdi. He will lead the entire ummah, and the whole ummah will be united, and this will be the greatest khilafah ever, as some scholars said. He will give money to everyone, and he will. There will be peace, and there will be, you know, safety and all that for the first time. In Sunnah Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ mentions he will rule for 7 years, and then the Dajjal comes, and the Mahdi then, even though he knows he cannot kill the Dajjal, he puts together an army and they fight against him on day one. So they have a fierce battle against the army of the Dajjal. So they go to sleep at night. That morning, that Fajr, they make the Iqamah. And right before the Mahdi, you know, moves forward to lead the Salah, all the believers, they look up and they see Isa alayhi salam, Isa ibn Maryam coming down. And the Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned with one hand on the wing of one angel, the other hand on the wing of another angel. He describes the garment he'll be wearing, its color, his hair, what it looks like, and he comes down right amongst the believers. And so they rush to him. They rush to Isa alayhi salam. And he wipes over their faces and he tells them their rank, their place in Al-Jannah. And then Al-Mahdi tells Isa ibn Maryam, تقدم يا روح الله. But Isa ibn Maryam pushes him from his shoulder like this, and he tells him the Iqama was made for you. Now, a number of things here. One, why is that? Why does the Mahdi lead the great Prophet Isa alayhi salam? Because number one, the scholars mention that the Mahdi has the Quran, and Isa alayhi salam has the Injil. And which one is superior? No doubt, it is the Quran. Two, they said to indicate that he's not coming as a new prophet. Rather, he is coming as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why some scholars said something interesting about Isa alayhi salam. They said this actually makes him a companion as well, because he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the ascension journey. He met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of course believed in him as a prophet. And so in that sense, he fits the bill of being a companion, a sahabi. I said that in class one time, and a student put their hand up and said, okay, and the people who see Isa, do they become the tabi'een? And of course, the answer is no. But also, so those are the two reasons. The third one is that also as respect, that this man assembled this whole army and he is leading them, and they already made the iqamah for him, so as respect, he let him lead. And what's interesting is, after this point, we do not have a single word about the Mahdi after this. We don't know if he lives until the time of Isa alayhi salam, continues living and just goes into retirement, has children, gets married. We don't know if he dies. We don't know anything about him after that. And the explanation is now the real star, Isa alayhi salam, has shown. So at that point, really, nobody cares about the Mahdi. There's no comparison between a Mahdi and a prophet, and a Mahdi and one of the five greatest prophets of Allah at that. But since we're more or less kind of done with the Mahdi, let's look at some other quote-unquote Mahdis that have shown up in history. All right. There was. Let's start with what we mentioned last time, that some of the Rafidis, what they used to be called back then, today we call them the Shia, claimed that the Mahdi is the last of their 12 Imams. So these are the 12 Shias. The Mahdi is the last of the 12 Imams. And his name will be Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari. And they believe he's from the descendants of al-Husayn, not al-Hasan, as we Sunnis believe. They believe that he entered the tunnel of Samarra in the year 260 after the Hijrah. Yani, the Mahdi was alive. So, in the Sunni belief that if you're not living at the time of the Mahdi, he's not born. And if you, 500 years ago, the Mahdi was not born. We don't believe that he's alive on earth and hiding somewhere. But these people here, they said that he went into this cave in Samarra in 260 after the Hijrah. So he was alive, went into that cave, and he's not going to come out until it's time to come out. One very important thing to remember when you do something like that, when you say the Mahdi is alive and well, or the Al-Khadr is still alive and amongst us, or like some extremists also say, the Prophet ﷺ is still alive and he was here and he prayed with us and all that. I'll tell you a story. There was one of the shuykh that I studied with. He was in Medina. He said, and after the salah, we prayed there, and after the salah, I saw someone turn towards the Prophet ﷺ and make dua. He said, the guy was a redhead, so I thought he was a Westerner. So I went to speak to him. So when I got to him, it turns out he's Arab, just looks like that. And he said that, I told him, Ya akhi, we should always make our dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone. Do not pray to anyone else, no intercessors, nothing. And because, as you know, the Prophet ﷺ has passed on. And he tells him, no, the Prophet ﷺ is not dead. The Prophet ﷺ is amongst us. And he actually just prayed Aisha with us. So, like, what do you say to someone like that? So the Shaykh just said, Prophet ﷺ just prayed Aisha with us? He said, yeah. He said, then why don't you make sure that he led the salah? Like, who is going to lead the salah and the Prophet ﷺ is in line somewhere? The point is that there are these people who believe the Prophet ﷺ is alive and they try to make it look like it's an honor. But what you're doing, let's pick any here, the Mahdi, the Al-Khadr, and Muhammad ﷺ, if you say any of these three are alive, and like the Shia say, the Mahdi even knows what's happening on earth right now, then is this a plus or a minus? It's a huge negative, it's a huge minus to be alive and see all the destruction and all the death that's happening to the Muslims. Muslims are dying by the millions. And you're just sitting there and you're not saying a word. Al-Khadr, what is he doing? Every time in Sudan, every few months, they write an article in the newspaper that they saw Al-Khadr in the vegetable market in this city or that city. And he's always at the vegetable markets because he's Khadr, green. So you tell me, you know, millions of people died in Iraq and he's just walking around the vegetable garden? Vegetable market with some leaf doesn't make any sense. It makes the person careless. Tell me the Prophet ﷺ is alive. Tab, let's consult the Prophet ﷺ on all the thousands of problems afflicting the Ummah right now. Not just wars, economies, everything. Doesn't make any sense. Or the Mahdi is alive. Tab, what are you waiting for? And he goes to a cave 1,000 years ago. What do you do in a cave? They're punching bags and training in that cave or what? Doesn't make any sense. It takes away from the greatness of the individual when you make them alive and careless. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.